Hello there. Hello Welcome there. To Disney Hey, the Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast. I'm just really excited about the Obi-Wan trailer. We're your hosts. I'm Brandon.
And I'm Krista.
There was an Obi-Wan trailer. Okay.
You're getting ahead of yourself.
I am. But, okay. So, this episode, we're actually going to talk about Frontierland and also the Obi-Wan trailer.
Okay, we will talk about the Obi-Wan trailer, I promise.
But, yeah, okay, the main subject is Frontierland.
Okay.
And also the Obi-Wan trailer. But before all of that, Krista, what are you drinking?
I am drinking, and it's called Clever Fox. It's an apricot beer saison. Is that how you say that?
Yeah, saison. Yeah, it's a type of beer. And Clever Fox, that's interesting. We had some foxes featured on our Valentine's episode. Our crush-worthy.
We did.
Episode. Yeah.
They were all foxy.
They were
foxy.
But
we actually had legitimate foxes as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What are you drinking?
I am drinking a Schwarzbier. You have to say it like that.
Schwarzbier.
Okay. Yeah. It's pretty tasty.
Yeah, and that's from a pretty local brewery. Nice.
Our second closest local brewery.
Yes.
We're lucky we got, well, actually it might be third closest. We have lots of close breweries.
Yeah, I think there's one that's closer. Yeah. Yeah.
Many breweries.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, Brandon, what is your nerd thing this week?
Well, I think we have the same nerd thing.
I don't know. What's your nerd thing? It's probably the same nerd thing.
We're going to Disneyland! Oh, that should come with a speaker warning. That's a lot of spikes in the old soundboard there. Okay. Anyway.
Was it because I screamed?
Yeah. Maybe a little
bit. You know, usually when the soundboard does that, you're yelling churros.
Churros! I'm going to have some of those.
Yeah, and every time are you going to yell,
churros! Yeah, I might. They might tell me to refrain. Sir, can you keep it down? There are children present. Anyways, yes. We are going to take the rain check on our April 2020 trip.
Yep, yeah.
In April 2022.
Yeah.
2 years later.
It was so funny because last episode we were asking everyone to cross their fingers for flight prices to go down.
They mostly went down a little bit. We got
more of you could have crossed your fingers, but
we got creative and they're tolerable.
Yes. Yeah. They're not great, but we lucked out because we're Disney A, we're Canadian, and we had the Canadian resident tickets from April 2020.
Yes, and they were still valid.
Yes, we thought we were going to, of course, have to pay the difference, but they said, no, the Canadian resident ones just kept getting moved because, you know, our border was closed, so it was, like, physically impossible to use them.
You didn't set me up. I was going to be like, why, what happened?
Yeah,
shucks.
Darn. But, yeah, she's like, yeah, your border was closed. I was like, I know. I was there.
But yeah, last we heard, they were going to be done, like, as tickets December 31st,
yep.
But they are still good, so we have five-day park hoppers still, fully, and, like, for prices from 2 years ago, so they were a lot cheaper.
So that made us feel a little bit better about the flights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's going to be Dapper Day.
I'm so excited. We have Dapper outfits from 2 years ago.
Yes, they don't fit anymore.
No. Yes.
We're going to make them fit somehow.
But it's the opposite way of most people, actually.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to fall off of us,
basically.
So, yeah, that's really exciting.
It is. Yeah. It's very, very exciting.
I'm so excited. Yeah, that's definitely, we may have a doc going of all of the food and wine items we want to try.
Basically, our last episode, we talked about them as like a pie in the sky type of thing. And now we're going to actually... eat most of them.
I actually just went back and listened to the edits and like to add them to the list of wish lists. And yes, Dapper Day, and oh yes, there's some exciting stuff with that. Can we say the other thing we're gonna do?
Sure.
Okay, we're gonna stay at the Disneyland Hotel for part of our trip.
Yes. Again, something that's probably too expensive, but you know, we're kind of Disney nerds, so let's do it.
Yeah, I always said I have certain Disney bucket list items. And this is one that I didn't think I would ever do. Disneyland hotels are harder to justify than Disney World ones.
There's a much broader range of Disney World hotels, from low budget to mid budget to the high budget. Whereas Disneyland, they're all high budget. Like, even the lowest budget one is still high budget. So,
and just because of the location, a lot of the Good Neighbor hotels are as closer, in some places closer.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the Paradise Pier one is actually kind of out in the boonies anyway, so you can get a Good Neighbor hotel that's closer than that one for sure.
Definitely. The one that my family usually stays at is. Mm-hmm. But their Dapper Day's on, and there was a Dapper Day deal. And yeah, figured... and
so it was a decent discount, still probably too much for my poor accountant heart to take, but...
But we're not doing it the whole trip. We're going to stay at a Good Neighbor hotel and then move there for a couple nights around Dapper Day.
Yeah, we're going to be there for a couple nights, and our full day there, we're not going to the park. We're going to enjoy the whole hotel. So
yeah, we're going to check out the pools, and the Dapper Day Expo is on then as well.
Yeah, so it's kind of its own attraction in and of itself, and yeah.
We're going to really enjoy that hotel. I'm so excited.
We're going to get our money's worth, hopefully, out of it.
Yes, we will have an episode coming up where we talk about kind of our plans, and you can give us tips on helping us plan our day and all that. Many days. And all that fun stuff. But also, we're going to check out like Knott's Berry Farm over there, and yeah, it'll be fun. And Universal.
Maybe one day at Universal and probably 2 days at Knott's, because Knott's is just super reasonable. If you go twice, you can just get an annual pass.
Right.
And that might encourage us to go back in the next year. Who knows? But
that would be really nice.
I really like Knott's because it has some pretty sweet rides, mm-hmm. and I'm thrill ride type of guy.
Yeah.
And the Boysenberry Festival is also on at the same time.
Yeah,
so.
I'm less excited about the thrill rides. I'm very terrified. I probably won't do a lot of them. The price makes it a little bit more justified.
Yeah.
But the Boysenberry Festival's on, and I'm really excited about that as well.
You can literally get an annual pass to Knott's for the same price as a one-day park hopper pass to Disneyland. So.
But it's Disney, and I love it.
Yeah. It is a bit of apples and oranges type of situation, but Knott's is... It's a pretty good value.
Right. Yeah, we're going to do that. And we'll talk more detail about that as it gets closer. But that was a whim kind of booked, decided to call and see what they said. And it was all taken care of in like a little bit.
Yeah. We're going for it now.
Yeah, we're going for it. Well, that's a pretty big nerd thing,
Brian. That is a big nerd thing, yeah.
Do you want to, before we get to the news, though, do you want to just switch gears a little bit and talk a Moon Knight countdown?
Oh, yes, that is coming. I am very excited for that, although it's been a little overridden by that Obi-Wan trailer that I was talking about. Yes, Moon Knight.
16 days from release of this episode.
That's getting real close.
Well, this is a big Marvel drought that we've had.
We're going to miss some of the episodes while we're in Disneyland.
Yay, but we're going to be in Disneyland.
We might even get to meet Moon Knight in Disneyland.
Oh, my God.
Not quite as exciting as meeting Variant Loki in Disneyland.
True.
Or California Adventure. He'll be in California Adventure, but...
yeah, that would be really cool, though.
Yeah, it would be super cool.
I'd be up for it.
Could ask him what flavor of churro he likes the best.
He's probably going to say the new mango one that's for Food and Wine. No, they can't see you shaking your head in disgust.
No.
Brandon's not a huge mango fan. I am, so.
Definitely not on my churros.
But yeah, so Moon Knight, we're 16 days and counting.
Whew.
And that takes us to the news. Disney A News Update. Well, our biggest news item is that we're going to Disneyland.
nerd news items. Both.
Yes. But there's other news as well. Maybe while we're at Disneyland, we could get some Turning Red merch, because Turning Red came out. We're recording this on Friday, the 11th, and so Turning Red came out today, and we literally just finished watching it.
Spur of the moment, I was like, well, we should record the podcast, and you're like, no, we should watch Turning Red. No, actually, I said, do you want to watch Turning Red? Because I had seen it had come out, and...
Well, we were intending to watch it this weekend, but it worked out to watch it now.
At some point, we have a lot of Oscar movies to watch as well, and this is not an Oscar movie, because it just came out. So
today.
It's probably not going to be an Oscar movie either. But it's Canadian, and...
We really loved all the little Canadian
there
details.
There were some little...
Shout out to Timmy's.
They had Timbits. They had Canadian money.
They did.
I was waiting for a bag of milk, even though we don't have that there. But
no, but they do in Ontario.
It is set in Toronto, and they have bags of milk there. And
it's true.
I thought they were going to do it. I thought they were
But they did refer to her hat as a toque.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, the Celine Dion reference was more obvious. Mm. But I liked, her Canada shirt. And things like that. But I did like you said there was a person wearing a t-shirt that said the loons on it. And
no, it was Loons Unlimited.
Oh, that's what Like Ducks Unlimited.
Like Ducks Unlimited, but yes, loons Unlimited. And,
that's even
and
better.
They talked about saving their loonies and all sorts of little Canadian references.
Yeah, so that was a lot of fun.
It was really cute.
Also, you know what else is cute? Red pandas.
Yeah, red pandas are adorable.
Now, what did you think of this movie? We're not spoiling or anything.
No.
Just overall, what did you think?
I thought it was a solid, like, B+, maybe.
Okay.
It probably belonged as a Disney Plus release, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
I might have been a little more disappointed at paying to see it in the theaters.
Okay.
But, yeah, it was cute and really a good metaphor coming-of-age story. Like,
yep.
kind of ham-fisted metaphor, but it worked.
Yep. Yeah, I was surprised by some of the details they included in there as well.
Yes,
yeah.
They
didn't shy away.
They did not, and that it,
good.
I thought, good job, Disney. I thought it was good. It was fine.
I thought it was cute. I was a little concerned when I first heard about it. I thought it was going to be amazing, and then just some other stuff I heard about. I thought, well, it's going to be like geared a little young that we won't really appreciate, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it. I kind of felt not the same story at all, but the same kind of level of appreciation as, but Luca would be more on.
Yeah, point. It's similar in style and tone to
mm-hmm.
Luca.
The tone, yeah. There's some really heartfelt things. It's mostly like fun
I like,
and goofy.
I did like Luca yep. more, but maybe that's just my perspective and like.
Right.
Italy's more exciting than Toronto. I don't know.
I like her voice in it, and I like Big Fluffy Red Panda, and I identified with some of the details. I don't think it's a spoiler to say I was, like, a massive Backstreet Boys fan as a kid. Like, they talk about that in the trailer and stuff,
yeah.
How she likes boy bands and
yeah,
things.
Yeah, boy bands play a part, because
yeah.
she's a 13-year-old girl, and she likes boy bands.
In 2002.
Yeah.
That was, like, yeah.
So, like, almost our age.
Almost.
A little younger than us.
A little younger, but, you know, reasonable.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
So, no, I thought it was cute, and it was Big Fluffy Red Panda. Maybe they'll be turning red merch over at Disneyland.
It does seem like they have some.
Yep.
Some probably some panda ears.
I would hope so.
Yeah. Red pandas are cute, though.
Okay, before we get to your most exciting news, let's do the other ones, because I know you want to talk about
it. Okay.
So the other ones, Toontown officially has closed, and in fact, on the if you check your Disneyland app map.
Okay.
App map. There we go. It is not on there anymore, apparently.
Oh.
Are you looking right now?
I am.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking.
Uh-huh. And it's just, like, wiped out.
It's wiped out. Yeah, it is.
It's just gone.
It's just green.
So that's interesting.
It's a small world, and, yeah, the normal entrance where you'd go across the train tracks to Toontown, it's gone.
That's pretty crazy. So that is going to be closed until, sometime next year.
Long time.
But I found it interesting that they just took it from the map.
Yeah.
They don't want people to even think about it.
Yeah, it's not there.
Yep.
Out of sight, out of mind.
I
it's all good.
I guess that's kind of the idea.
They got lots of stuff going on there.
They do.
So it's all good.
Also, Pirates of the Caribbean is going to be down here right away. And it is going to be down for a while. In fact, it probably won't be coming up. This is sad for us because Pirates is like, I have three favorite rides. And Pirates is one of them.
Pirates is my favorite, like, Disney-specific dark
yeah.
ride. Like, Haunted Mansion's up there, but I like Pirates more.
Yeah, for me, it's Pirates, Haunted Mansion, and Splash Mountain are my three favorite attractions. But, so we're pretty sad that we're going to not be able to see Pirates unless something crazy happens. Right now, they're just...
I think they
said early summer now is what I've heard.
Yeah, early summer. It's not going to be open because they're shutting down Blue Bayou on April 21st.
Oh, right. Yes.
So it's...
Definitely not going to be.
Definitely mm-hmm. not going to be open while we're there, which is kind of sad. But we get to see a bunch of other stuff, so...
Yep. Yeah, we were kind of disappointed about that, but you reasoned really well. Splash Mountain, like I said, is one of my favorites, and that is going to change, and I won't get another chance to ride the original.
Yeah.
Pirates is not going anywhere.
No, you'll see Pirates again, and plus, our original trip, Haunted Mansion, was scheduled to
That's
be down
true.
While we were there,
that
so you're
true.
Trading one for the other.
Exactly.
Like, what can you
I'm
do?
I kind of feel like I'm trading two for the other, actually,
because
it felt like I wasn't going to get to see Splash again. Plus, we get Avengers Campus now. We weren't going to get that before.
That's right.
So, yes, Toontown, gone. It doesn't exist for the next little bit.
It didn't really exist for me before anyway, so, you know, whatever.
And then this is just a little quick news item. An all-new Muppet series titled Muppets Mayhem has been greenlit by Disney+.
Huh.
Yep. Basically, it's going to follow the Electric Mayhem Band on their journey to recording the very first studio album.
They really keep trying with the Muppets.
I know they do. So basically, for the last 45 years, Muppets the Electric Mayhem Band has been involved. They were involved basically the entirety of the Muppets, and they just want to make something with the Muppets work.
Yeah,
it should. Please,
I would like something. The best thing they've done in a long time was the ABC The Muppets Show.
Oh, that was so good.
And that didn't gain any traction because it wasn't marketed quite right. Mm-hmm. And I don't know.
I mean, heck, we didn't even watch it then, and we're like Muppets fans.
I love the Muppets, but I don't know if they work anymore.
That makes me really sad.
Yeah.
No, I don't know if that's true. I think they weren't working for a while. I think they might work again, but they have to figure out how to fix, like, their audience problems.
Right.
Because they keep switching who they're gearing their stuff for.
It needs to be a sincere adult.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like.
And not like. Not vulgar or anything.
No. Like, you look at Muppet's Christmas Carol.
Yes.
It works so well because it's so sincere.
Yeah.
And kids can watch it, but it's like a genuine Christmas mm-hmm. carol. Like, so
there was that meme with Michael Caine about this last Christmas going around, mm-hmm. right? And he says, I'm gonna like basically treat this super seriously.
Yeah.
And
the humans in the Muppet movie or series or whatever they mm-hmm. do have to play it straight, like it's like an Oscar caliber thing, and then it works. Mm-hmm. Like the Muppets, you got to be the straight man to the Muppets.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Yeah, when they were gearing it towards kids, it was fine for kids, but
The Muppets were never meant for kids.
Well, that's the thing.
Sesame Street was meant for kids.
Exactly. And then it shifted to trying to be for kids. Mm. So then when it came back, trying to be for adults with the Muppets, the ABC one, we're like, I don't know who this is for.
I don't get it. Yeah. I don't know. But I think nostalgia is a big ticket item these days, mm-hmm. and there is enough millennials that...
It's true. Disney adults.
Buy it up mm-hmm. and go for it. I don't know.
I will definitely be watching it.
I hope it works. I'm just skeptical.
I'm wondering if it might work more as instead of just doing like a whole Muppets thing, just like specifically looking at certain aspects like the Electric Mayhem Band.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, well, let's see.
I'm still skeptical.
I'm excited that there's new Muppets stuff coming.
Yeah, like keep trying.
Yeah, do it. Don't give up. Mm. Don't give up. Okay, Brannon, the time has come. Obi-Wan. Hello there.
Yes. So the official Obi-Wan Twitter account tweeted out, hello there, a couple days ago. And I forwarded you that tweet.
Yeah.
And I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
They dropped the first teaser trailer. First footage from the series. What did you think, Krista?
I thought it looked so cool. I mean, I love Ewan McGregor in literally. Everything he does, but I mean, he's awesome, and he as Obi-Wan is awesome.
It's amazing how, like, hasn't quite aged to look like Alec Guinness, but you know, there's
a suspension of disbelief.
It's not
there.
Bad.
It's not crazy.
It's not bad, and it just works really well. And he's a great actor.
Mm, exactly.
And him and John Williams carried the prequels.
Oh, 100%.
And John Williams comes back in this teaser trailer with a vengeance.
Okay. Was there anything that stood out to you during this trailer, Brandon, that you want to mention?
Everything.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, just go watch the trailer. Okay. Like, it's incredible. Like, the music, all the leitmotifs, just really jerking on your emotions.
Were there any of those that stood out to you?
Yeah, all of them.
Okay, so do we want to spoil the trailer or?
I mean, it's a trailer.
Okay, basically, this is supposed to be 9 years before the events of A New Hope.
9 BBY is how they refer to it in Star Wars mm-hmm. lingo. 9 years before the Battle of Yavin.
BBY. Yeah, yeah. BBY. Okay, so 9 years before the Battle of Yavin.
Right, because that's the first Death Star getting blown up at Yavin 4.
Makes sense.
The moon. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So what is the basic premise of what the series is going to seem to be about?
Well, Obi-Wan is like kind of being his failed Jedi hermitiness, as they like to do, because when something bad happens to Jedis, they become hermits. I guess
it's a thing.
But he's watching over Luke, basically.
Ooh, what color of milk is he going to drink?
It doesn't look like he's going to get any milk. He's too busy.
Yeah. Okay, so he's watching over Luke, young Luke.
We get to see a young, like, Anakin-age Phantom Menace Luke.
Which was cool.
Yeah, pretty cool. Yeah, we kind of follow what he's doing in the between, between when he drops off Luke as a baby to A New Hope.
Yeah, and it seems like the Jedi are being rounded up.
Yeah, so the other really interesting thing is that it seems like they're really leaning heavily, heavily into the animated series canon, which they always were canon, but they're bringing, like, so Boba Fett, of course, brought in several characters from the animated series.
Yes.
And this is just going further and further. But I also thought it was interesting they're tying into the video game.
I was wondering if you'd mention that. Yeah, now.
As well. Now, I've played part of it. I've played part of it. I haven't gone all the way through, but the Inquisitors are a big deal in that game, which makes sense. That's easy to build a game off of.
Right.
With Jedi Hunters or whatever. But apparently they're big in Rebels as well, which we also haven't seen.
I know. We have so much to watch.
But the Inquisitors are going to play a big part in this Obi-Wan series because, of course, they're hunting down Jedi.
Of course. And
guess who's a big Jedi this time? Like, probably one of the biggest. Him and Yoda are the two biggest. Everybody else is dead, right?
Basically, so,
I'm pretty sure all the other Jedi Council members are dead.
Yes.
They are the two last ones alive, unless they pull a Mace Windu out of their hat.
Yes, I was going to say, we didn't see Mace die.
Yeah, exactly. But I think all the other ones are dead.
Yeah. I think the fact that we haven't seen him die and he was significant, he might not show up in this, but they're leaving him around to do something.
They should, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, just randomly show up.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, he's awesome. Cool. He's true. you said they brought back John Williams. They brought back the actor who played Lars, like...
And Aunt Beru.
Oh, yeah, I missed that one. Oh, see, that's so cool.
It is really cool. Like, just 20 years later, just, oh, hey, you had this little cameo.
Yeah. You were on screen for about 45 seconds.
And apparently the actor who played Uncle Owen actually went on to do quite a bit of stuff. Like, he's a decently sized star now, and yeah, they got him back for this show. So cool.
Uncle Owen.
John or something.
Joel.
Ah, I was close.
Joel Edgerton. Warrior, The Gift, Bright, The King, Gatsby.
Oh, he's in Great Gatsby.
I literally just watched that. Red Sparrow, Exodus. Oh, he's in lots of stuff.
Yeah, he's done. Oh, he's in Black Mass.
Apparently. Kinky Boots. Zero Dark 30.
Okay, well, he's been in stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, so that's pretty cool. I was very excited about this. Everyone I talked to who is a Star Wars fan is very excited about this, and it comes out in May.
May 25th.
Why May 25th? I know you said this before, but say it again.
It is the 40th anniversary of A New Hope, or Star Wars in general.
Yes, exactly. So that is really exciting. And we are hypothesizing that on May the 4th, a new trailer will come out.
Yeah, like, because this was the teaser, I figured they might wait. Well, no, I didn't think they'd wait that long, because that is pretty close.
No, I think a new trailer, or like a
But yeah, no, I think they'll release, it might even be the second full trailer, but there'll be something that'll come out on Star Wars.
Yeah, like a new poster or something. There's going to be something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Excited.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to it.
Main topic time. I know you could talk about Obi-Wan more, but
I could.
We're going to talk about Obi-Wan
lot. Let's go Frontier Land. There's some good stuff there. I know one good thing there.
At the park.
It's the wildest ride in the wilderness. That's the good thing.
Yeah.
That's the good thing. That's a good thing.
Yeah, it is a good thing.
Uh-huh.
Remove your hats and glasses. Well, yes, that is a good thing in Frontierland.
That's literally all I know about Frontierland.
Well, you're about to learn more.
Yeah, please tell me, because I spend all my time in Big Thunder all the time.
Frontierland's the thing you walk through to get to Big Thunder.
Yeah, it's kind of like a big welcome mat to Big Thunder.
Or to transition you to where Haunted Mansion and Pirates are.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, Frontierlands, because there's one almost... There's a Frontierland-esque thing in all or almost all Disney parks.
Right.
So they are home to Cowboys, Pioneers, Saloons, Red Rock Buttes, and Gold Rushes. It is named Westernland, though, at Tokyo Disney. and Grizzly Gulch at Hong Kong Disney.
That's right. I like the name Grizzly Gulch.
I do too. I do too.
That's a cool name.
Well, they actually have a whole story about it, and it ties into their Haunted Mansion is there
right,
as well.
Right, yes. Yeah. Their Haunted Mansion actually looks really cool.
It does, because it's, so this whole, like, failed mining town kind of thing. So Disney World has slight variations from our Disneyland. They don't have a critter country, so Splash Mountain, canoes, country bears, and all of that is part of their Frontierland.
What's a country bear?
Did you ever watch Country Bears?
I avoided that movie like the plague.
I liked that movie. Oh. I liked it. I thought it was cute. Okay. Liberty Square they have in Disney World, which we don't have here, and that kind of overlaps. Liberty Square is like, it's like halfway between Main Street USA and Frontierland.
Yeah, Liberty Square, it was like an extension of Main Street.
Right.
And like it, yeah. So.
So they overlap a little bit. A
little bit.
And in Disneyland Paris, there's an elaborate backstory connected to the Phantom Manor and Big Thunder Mountain, the largest space of any of the Frontierlands. Disneyland Paris seems to have a fair bit of space. It's all spread out.
Yeah, and...
Not like Disney World, but...
That Haunted Mansion also looks pretty cool.
That one really does.
I think Haunted Mansion would be my number one ride in all the different parks.
Agreed.
Like, because like the different things they do with it in all the different parks just like really intrigues me.
Yeah, see,
I know I'm going off topic.
There's a reason for that, and I think it's so cool. Even when, if you haven't watched Imagineering Story, by the way, watch Imagineering Story, and also watch Behind the Attraction because they talk about Haunted Mansion a fair bit. Haunted Mansion is one of those things that went through so many reiterations, right? Mm-hmm. And I know this is a tangent, but that's okay. They still didn't, like, they're trying to do this weird balance between, like, lighthearted but also scary. And they do that in our Haunted Mansion, but then, and that was mostly recreated in Disney World. But then when you take it to other cultures, they all have different interpretations and of what is and is not respectful for ideas of, like, death and, like, afterlife and stuff like that.
It can be a touchy subject.
Exactly.
For sure.
And also, like, just what their beliefs are.
Mm-hmm.
So having a haunted house doesn't really make sense in a lot of those places. So, yeah, I thought this was really cool. And then you go to Paris and something like that, and they're like, we literally have houses so much older than this. Like, I don't understand why
this isn't scary. Creepy at all. This is the new subdivision.
So they need a story to go with it to make it make sense, right? They're like, and here we have an old house. No, not really. And I like that they have such different styles in different places, even between Disney World and Disneyland. But yes, this is a total tangent. But what is interesting is this connection that some of the theme parks have made between Frontierland and the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, because it's, you can pull that American Old West and make it kind of ghosty very easily, so
it works for
me.
Absolutely. So Disneyland Paris is the largest Frontierland. Hong Kong Disneyland's equivalent Grizzly Gulch is the smallest.
Well, Hong Kong
is Disneyland the smallest
is
everything
very,
yeah
very small yeah
there's only one ride there, which is Big Grizzly Mountain Runaway Mine Cars. Basically it's a mix between Big Thunder Mountain Railroad and some ride elements of Expedition Everest from Disney World, and it's themed as Northern California mining town.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. And it's specifically, so there's a whole story surrounding that one that is established specifically on August 8th, 1888. 8 month,
the number 8 would be extremely lucky in Hong Kong.
Exactly, exactly.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So one of the 5 original lands in Disneyland is Frontierland, and it did not initially contain many attractions, but centered on an open expanse of wilderness, which could be traversed by guests via stagecoach, pack mules, Conestoga, I probably said that wrong, wagon, and walking trails. It was mostly like, go explore the Old West.
Yeehaw!
Exactly. When
I want a donkey. I want to go explore on a donkey.
Right? The mine train through Nature's Wonderland opened in 1960. It consisted of a sedate train ride around various Western landscape dioramas, and the mine train closed in 1977 to make way for the Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, which opened in 1979.
Good choice.
Well, that is often... one of the YouTubers that...
Fresh Baked? Yes.
So he always talks about every time he gets concerned about changes to an attraction, he remembers that because everyone was so upset when Mine Train through Nature's Wonderland closed, and then Big Thunder Mountain came, and they're like, oh. Okay. And he says, sometimes they have misses, and sometimes they have Big Thunder Mountain Railroad.
It's supposed to be a living place where they change things. So
exactly. Even if I don't like the changes, and then sometimes I don't. But sometimes you get Big Thunder Mountain Railroad.
I'm still holding my breath. It has really good reviews, but Guardians... like, I'm going off another tangent.
Yeah, that's okay.
But Guardians of the Galaxy, the replacement for Tower of Terror in California Adventure,
right.
is supposed to be amazing, but I love Tower of Terror. Yeah. So I'm still holding my breath. And I like Guardians a lot. Like, I think it's a cool property.
I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised because you love Tower of Terror. But even when we were in Disneyland, you said it's almost disappointing because the Walt Disney World one is so good.
Yeah, the Disney World one.
And they just
one,
couldn't do it in Disneyland.
The Disney World one is better.
Yeah.
And I just have my fingers crossed that they don't change that one too.
Yeah, that's fair. Another one for behind the attraction. That's very cool.
Yeah.
Well, and different things like well, when California Adventure first opened, yeah, okay, I like Paradise Pier. Yeah, exactly.
Whoops.
Paradise Pier and stuff like that, but it was not the only thing that was even remotely like Disney magic was Bugs Land, which doesn't even exist anymore. Just that theming and everything.
Yeah, it had decent theming. The
Tough to Be a Bug.
That was a painful experience.
Man. I liked that. I thought no. It was fun. But I liked the theming and
my
the
kidney
the whole
has
concept.
Still not recovered from that bee sting.
But I liked that. And so I was kind of sad to hear they were taking it away. Well, they replaced it and they've completely reconfigured everything. And it sounds like it's way better.
Well, I mean, Avengers Campus is basically where Bug's Life used to be.
Right.
So. Yeah, I'll take that trade.
Right. So you have, they leaned way harder into the theming. So, yeah, sometimes there's a serious miss, and sometimes you get Big Thunder Mountain Railroad.
They just need to lean into things and spend the money, and then new things will be good.
It's true. Yeah. It's true. Back to Frontierland.
Okay.
It is located along the rivers of America. So, technically, Mark Twain, the sailing ship Columbia, and Tom Sawyer's Island, right now it's Pirate's Lair on Tom Sawyer's Island, are all considered part of Frontierland, as well as Phantasmic.
Right.
Because of the Phantasmic
That's
viewing
not open
area.
Either. That's
no.
not open either.
No, but the Phantasmic viewing area is part of Frontierland.
Okay, well, interesting. I want to go on Mark Twain when we're there.
That one is going to be a very busy one on Dapper Day.
Yes. We're going to have to go on Dapper Day.
Yes. Well, us and everyone else.
Yeah. No, I don't care.
Oh, no. We will be going. Yeah. I was reading thinking it was like the most popular ones on Dapper Day are Mark Twain and then
and
probably
the
like the carousel. Yeah.
Dumbo.
Yeah. The like original ones. Yeah. So if you go in a lot of those dark rides, even though they've been completely revamped, would be popular ones. But yes, Mark Twain is going to be a must. We'll be in the massive throng of people,
but it'll be cool because they'll all be happy and
exactly.
dressed up
exactly
stuff.
Yeah, no, it's not a there are going to be days where it's cram a bunch of rides in, and there's going to be days where we're just going to stand
enjoy.
For like hours in the Mark Twain line.
Yes, we're there, we're in Disney for at least 5 days, possibly six if we get a cheap Dapper Day ticket.
Five for sure, fingers crossed for six, but five for sure.
And that's a lot for like Disney World is four parks, and it's a lot bigger, and it's a lot more spread out, whereas Disneyland and California Adventure, if you go real hard, you can see all the rides in one day. Like, I'm talking real hard, but...
Yeah, or still. Almost all of them.
Yeah.
I've done five before a couple times, and I have done six once, and I like it, because then you can revisit lots of things.
Yeah, and you can take it easy, and you don't have to stress.
And of course, that was in the FastPass era, so now with Genie Plus, it's all a little different.
A little different.
Okay, but we'll talk about all that. So I have some little pieces of information from you. This is actually from Wikipedia.
Is it about Big Thunder?
No, I'm getting there.
Oh, okay.
On the roof of the Western Ho Trading Company, there are...
Westward Ho!
I said Western, didn't I?
Yeah.
Westward Ho. Trading Company, there are elk or deer antlers, actual elk or deer antlers. Elk antlers were commonly placed in general stores in the Old West, so cowboys coming into town knew immediately where to get supplies.
Makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah.
Also in Frontierland is a building that has a large sign that says... Loud Bang Company Fireworks Factory.
That's
amazing.
So yeah, that's
we have to spell it. LAODBHANG.
It's kind of like an Asian spelling of
exactly.
a couple words, and interesting because like back in those days, the Asians would handle the explosives for building.
Yeah, not great history. There,
not great history.
No,
but
an interesting.
Okay. Anyway,
yes.
Moving on.
Plus, at the storefront marked Crockett and Russell Hat Co., there's a window honoring Fess Parker, who played Davy Crockett in Walt Disney's Davy Crockett.
Davy Crockett!
Do you want to know how many times I listened to that when I was on hold waiting for a talk to a cast member for Disney? Probably about that, yeah. But what was really cool is they did that one, and then they did the song Let's Get Together from the original. What's the one where Hayley Mills and the sister switch places?
Parent Trap.
Thank you. And then they did DuckTales.
DuckTales! Woo!
So I was like, oh, they're playing fun music. That's neat. And on repeat.
You were getting into it. You didn't even know that we were getting our tickets.
No, I was just like listening and I was like, DuckTales. So the current attractions, we have the Frontierland Shootin' Exposition. And this is interesting because when Frontierland, you said, what is there besides Big Thunder? There's stuff that like, well, for example, like Mark Twain and things that you don't actually think of necessarily as being part of Frontierland. So Frontierland Shootin' Exposition, Pirate's Lair on Tom Sawyer's Island, Mark Twain Riverboat, Sailing Ship Columbia, Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, and Fantasmic.
So what you're saying is it's really just Big Thunder.
And stuff, and extras.
And some stuff. Yeah. Okay.
So well, like, I have a story about the Shootin' Exposition, though.
Okay. Shoot.
So as you know, I have some younger siblings.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we went there with my little sister because she was like a toddler, but the first time we went there was she was old enough to like appreciate things. We actually took her on Big Thunder Mountain Railroad like first or second. It was one of the first rides. And when we got off, she started to cry because she thought she could never ride it again. So then we rode it again and she was like, what? You can do this more than once? She was like 4 or 5 or something at the time.
That's better than crying because you were scared, I guess.
No. And like, we were so worried that she like was just tall enough kind of thing. And we're like, oh, she's going to be scared. No, she was not scared at all. It was like the best thing ever. And then we went to Frontierland first, obviously. And then we went to, we walked by the guns for the Shootin' Exposition. And my brothers wanted to shoot. And then Brittany decided that the best rides are ones where you shoot things. So every time after we did the Shootin' Exposition, we'd go into an attraction and be like, can we shoot things? It's like, I'm starting to worry here a little bit. But her very favorite attraction, both my siblings' favorite attraction on that trip was Haunted Mansion.
Can't shoot things there either.
No. But again, you have that tie between Haunted Mansion and Frontierland.
They should do a Haunted Mansion spinoff with like Ghostbusters where you shoot the goat.
I don't think it would work very well.
No. Darn.
But yes, shooting things. And
I like shooting things, too. Yeah.
And Big Thunder. So they were her first
favorite.
You know
why? Because I'm good at it.
I'm not.
And I win.
Oh, that's. I feel like there's going to be some challenges on Buzz Lightyear and Toy Story.
I wouldn't call it a challenge.
I've beaten you before. There was that one time your gun didn't work.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Have you ever done Pirate's Lair on Tom Sawyer's Island? Or just Tom Sawyer's Island before it was Pirate's Lair?
No, I actually have never been there.
Oh, we should definitely do that. Yeah.
I'm down.
Yeah, I noticed the canoes aren't on here. And although the canoes seem very Frontierland-ish, I actually think they're part of Critter Country, just from where they take off.
Just where the entrance is for it, yeah. Kind of by Splashy Mountain.
Yeah.
There.
Tom Sawyer's Island, I liked when it was Tom Sawyer's Island, but when we were there before, Pirates was very big, and so that was still lots of fun. And it's a good, like, I don't want to stand in a line, and I just, like, want to wander around a little bit.
A little break. And yeah. The caves and stuff look pretty cool if it's not too crowded.
Right, yes.
If it's crowded, then it would probably suck.
Also, we have food and dining. The Golden Horseshoe is also considered part of entertainment. Now, since COVID shut down, they haven't hired back all of their entertainers. So I'm not sure what'll be on, if anything, while we're there. I have watched way back when they did Billy Hill and the Hillbillies was on there. And it'd be like old saloony type stuff now.
You're playing the piano. I said piano.
And they used to do dueling pianos, which is kind of cool. But it's a nice, again, a place to, especially if you're there during when it's really hot, to go sit and have some chili. And they serve Walt's chili there, or they did anyway.
Yeah.
And it was actually where Walt and Lillian had a big anniversary.
Yes, I did hear about that.
So there's a lot of like Disneyland history in there. They used to do whole big huge review shows in there and everything.
Yeah, it was kind of like a theater in there and stuff. Like, yeah, no, that makes sense.
Then there's Rancho del Zocalo Restaurante, famous for
Doritos!
Yep, absolutely. And Riverbell Terrace and the Stage Door Cafe. For shopping, you can go to Bonanza Outfitters, Westward Ho Trading Company, Pioneer Mercantile, or the Silver Spur. I also, when I was like 12 or something and we were there, I spent a lot of time in the stores here because Pocahontas was my favorite. And you used to be able to find Pocahontas merch only in Frontierland.
I'm pretty sure you could still find Pocahontas merch.
I'm not sure if you can anymore.
Are you sure?
Last time I was there, I couldn't find almost anything.
Interesting.
But enough time has passed, and like you said, nostalgia and millennials, so maybe it'll be more likely now.
Yeah.
Former attractions and notables, Fort Wilderness, Golden Horseshoe, other entertainments that
yeah,
were in
more,
there. Yeah,
more advanced Golden Horseshoe. Yeah. It's
Big
kinda...
Thunder Ranch, that has existed since I've been there, yeah. Nature's Wonderland, Woody's Roundup, I remember that too. Rainbow Caverns Mine Train, and seasonally they used to have Santa's Reindeer Roundup in the early 2000s. Mike Fink Keelboats and the Indian Village and Mexican Village. They don't have those anymore.
Yeah, I can't imagine that would go very well these days.
Well, I can't imagine it was, yeah.
Yeah.
They probably did their best in the 50s and 60s, and that was about it. Yeah, exactly. So those aren't there anymore, though. But yes, I do remember that Woody's Roundup was there in Big Thunder Ranch and things like that. Like those.
What was in
memory.
Big Thunder's Ranch?
There were actually some, like, animals. There was, like, a little, I guess you'd say it was, like, a petting zoo. Like a goat and stuff like that. Yeah.
Did it have dynamite in its mouth?
This one did not have dynamite in its mouth. But they actually did have...
probably for the best.
If I remember correctly, I think they had, like, corn on the cob and, like, they had, like, food there and everything.
For the goat or for you?
For you.
Oh. The goat probably wanted it, though.
Probably got its own corn on the cob.
Yeah. Goats are hungry.
But that is part of the area that I believe was switched over for Galaxy's Edge.
Good trade.
Mm-hmm.
Good trade.
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, so some of this stuff is within my memory, and some of it is really old.
I remember Big Thunder.
Okay, so Big Thunder is, of course, the starring attraction here.
Yeah.
You mentioned the goat with dynamite. I'm sure everyone who's listening already knows this, but can you explain the goat with dynamite trick?
So, Big Thunder, it's not, it's just a really well-themed ride. As a theme, like a thrill ride, it's not extreme. It's really not. It feels a little more extreme because it's, well, here, you played Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Yes.
When you were building roller coasters, you would actually get, it was a really well-designed game back in the day. but you would get bonus points for putting coasters that went close to theming elements.
Right.
And guests would have increased happiness when riding them.
Mm-hmm.
This is like a perfect real world example of that.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. Like if you just had that track in the middle of a warehouse somewhere, it would be terrible.
Right. Yeah.
But
I don't know about terrible, but it wouldn't be very good.
Yeah. It's not super extreme, but like all the theming makes it feel really cool. Like you feel like you're on a runaway mine train in this like. Old Western mining town, and at one point you're going around a curve, and there's a voice, and it says something about the goat, and the goat has a dynamite, and it's a weird thing with your head. If you turn and look at it, it just like increases the g-forces and it makes it feel more extreme.
Right, just like. And there's lots of different things that this attraction does. They do lots of dips. There's a couple places where you dip down into a cave.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on Disboards, one of the Disneyland messaging boards, and someone was like, I'm very tall, and I feel like if my hands are up, they're going to, like...
Yeah, oh, hit? Yeah.
And someone says, well, you know, like, if you are really tall and your hands are up, your fingers might touch. You're not going to get, like, decapitated or anything. But that's how it works with the thrill, is that there's a quick drop where it looks like you're going to crash into, like, this, I don't know, like, wall of this cliff, basically. And said you dive down into it.
Yeah, it's near misses that make your brain think that you're in danger, but you're like, it's not that scary.
They employed similar, not like the same track or, you know, dynamite or anything like that with Space Mountain, where because you're in the dark, it seems scarier than it actually is.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Space Mountain only works because it's in the dark.
Right.
With all the effects and stuff.
Yeah. So Disney's really good at this. I remember us talking once and you said, as far as you were concerned, Big Thunder was basically a perfect Disney attraction.
Yeah.
Because it marries like a little bit of thrill, but still family friendly.
Yeah.
And it's great theming.
Like you said, your 4-year-old sister.
Yeah. I think she was around 5.
Could go on it and be so excited about it that she's going to cry that she couldn't ride it again. But me.
Blew her mind.
As a advanced age individual.
You're old.
I'm old. Can go on and be like, yeah, this ride's cool.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, and that is exactly what Walt wanted.
Yeah.
When he was sitting there watching his girls on the carousel, he wanted a place where parents could have fun and little kids could have fun. People of all ages could have fun. And this one does it perfectly.
Because don't get me wrong, I love your giga coaster the 300-foot drop and all that sort of thing. But that's
I
not
will hold the stuff on the ground.
That's not Disney.
Exactly.
It's just not.
Exactly.
So this is Big Thunder is one of the perfect Disney rides.
Yep, I totally am on board for that. And in fact, when we were ranking all the Disneyland lands, I ranked Frontierland not super high, but then we discussed at length about how just awesome Big Thunder is, and it's, I said it's almost awesome enough that like that on its own can carry it up higher in like the echelon.
Yeah, like Big Thunder's shoulders are real sore from carrying this land.
But to be fair, I mean, things like Mark Twain is awesome. I just never think of Mark Twain as being part of Frontierland.
No, and when you say that, I'm like, okay, that does help with the theming. Your old-timey riverboat.
You know what? I always think of it as being more part, just because of Rivers of America. Well, New Orleans Square is right on the Rivers of America.
Yeah.
So I think Fantasmic, Sailing Ship Columbia, especially the Sailing Ship Columbia, it seems like a pirate ship, right?
Pirate ship.
And that goes with pirates.
And like, New Orleans has a lot of history with riverboats as well, so...
I think that's why my brain always does that. And I'm perfectly aware that's not accurate. It's just my brain does
it. They should really just merge New Orleans and Frontierland into one.
But they're such different themes.
I know, but they can be different.
I think that it's kind of be kind of awkward, because it kind of goes Frontierland, New Orleans Square, and then Critter Country.
Mm-hmm.
And Critter Country and Frontierland are very, very similar.
Very similar.
And in Disney World, they actually kind of are the same. So I don't know what's going to happen there, because it's this weird, like, you could just do like History Land or something. Mm. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
it's a weird, because you could merge Frontierland with Critter Country, and it would kind of make sense. And you could merge Frontierland with New Orleans Square, and if you transitioned enough, you kind of do it. You really can't do all three.
Yeah, well, they're not going to have much of a Critter Country when they redo Splash Mountain.
Well, that's part of the thing, because they're redoing it. I mean, obviously, we haven't ridden it or anything, but it's supposed to take place after the events of Princess and the Frog. Well, it takes place in New Orleans then.
Yeah.
It
takes place in New Orleans, and it's going to be the... Like, you're going to be floating on the bayou is the whole gist of it. So, yeah, that's going to be part of New Orleans. Like, it's...
Which means, really, the only thing left in Critter Country, we should talk about Critter Country next, I guess, is going to be Winnie the Pooh. Well, now, my concern is Winnie the Pooh kicking something out of Fantasyland, because Winnie the Pooh can't be all on its own out there.
No, that's kind of
kicking
silly.
Something out of Fantasyland, and what did it do in Disney World? Kicked
Mr.
up Mr. Toad.
Yep.
We better ride Mr. Toad.
Oh, we'll ride Mr. Toad.
Many times.
I don't know about many times.
No, many times. I love Mr. Toad.
No, if we're going to ride something many times, it's Guardians of the Galaxy.
We're going to do that many times, too.
Okay.
And Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, I'm behind you. Anyway, Frontierland.
Frontierland. Yeah, so there's like a weird... I don't have an issue with its theming, but there's interesting overlap is, I guess, my point. And I like that it's one of the original lands.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw. Do you have anything else to add for Frontierland first?
Do I have anything else to add for Frontierland? I like Big Thunder. The end.
We're going to ride that many times, too.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do the Mountain Challenge.
Ooh, yes. Yeah, remember when the Mountain Challenge was, like, really big in 2020?
Yeah, well, it's
we're going to do it.
It's going to be big now.
Yeah.
It's a little different because there's no fast passes. You could use one fast pass in the Mountain Challenge before. So now, fast pass free. Technically, I guess you could use Genie Plus, but you might not want to use it that early.
Yeah,
either.
I don't know.
It's a tough one. I don't know. I think we should maybe do it a couple times.
Oh,
we can beat our score.
I like it. Yeah. I like it. Okay. Yeah. All right. Deal. So if you've done the Mountain Challenge, or you have tips for the Mountain Challenge in this new Genie Plus world, make sure you message us about that, because we would be curious to hear what has worked.
I am very competitive and I like riding lots of rides really fast. So.
Okay.
And I walk. I take large steps.
Yeah, you're really tall. I do not. But actually, I've gotten pretty good at keeping up with
you.
Yes,
I've trained you to keep up with me.
Okay, well, we can't run, so...
No, I know.
Yep.
That's why I say I take large steps. It's not running. It's just walking vigor.
It's true. Okay, so last week I asked you some trivia. The first thing I asked you was, how many floats did Main Street Electrical Parade have when it debuted in 1972? It was either 10, 12, or 15. This is what you said.
I gotta go with 12.
On a complete random, the absolute chaos, you were right. Because I said, how many? And you said 12 before you even heard the question.
No. You said you were going to ask me trivia, and I said 12.
Yeah, you didn't even know it was a number question.
I didn't even know it was a number question. Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, and it was 12. They had 12 floats.
I'm just that smart, I guess. I don't know.
Okay. Number two, We Don't Talk About Bruno is the fifth song from an animated Disney movie to reach the top 5 on the Hot 100 Billboard charts. We discussed that A Whole New World actually had reached number 1 for 1 week before. Can you name any of the others from the top 5? And I said, even if you just name one.
Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast was a great guess. Not Crack, though. Colors of the Wind, Can You Feel the Love Tonight?
That's a good one.
And Let It Go.
Yeah, that's the easy one, Let It Go.
Yeah.
It's from more recent. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, it doesn't surprise me, Elton John. Yeah, that's good. Good stuff.
We had mentioned both Colors of the Wind and Let It Go on a previous episode, so I thought you might get this one, but...
I don't know.
I talk about Bruno too much, I know.
You're blindsiding me with music trivia. I'm not a music guy, so...
You're like, we're not supposed to talk about that.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I asked, what is believed to be the first Mickey-shaped food sold in the parks? This is what you said.
A lollipop.
Good guess. The answer is pancakes.
I mean, everybody makes Mickey pancakes. Probably an accident.
Might have been. Doritos Whoops. Were an accident, okay?
Yeah, Doritos were an accident. But yeah, I can just see them like, oh, we got the pancakes merged to get, oh, it kind of looks like Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, it's probably absolutely correct. Well, that was fun. Good job. You know what? You impressed me so much by guessing 12 before you even knew there was a question up for everything else.
I didn't want to try on the other ones to make you feel bad, I guess.
Thanks for that. Yeah. Well, contact us on our social media or through our website to chat and have any suggestions for Mountain Challenge or anything else for our upcoming Disneyland trip. Or if you just want to say hi or make fun of Brandon.
Hello there.
Nice. Mm. Are you going to do that like every episode now?
Maybe.
So that's our show for this week. Thanks to El Mule, who's responsible for the custom theme song you heard at the top of the show. You can find a link to his work at our website, disneya.wixsite.com/podcast, and you can find a link to our social media accounts, as well as a link to email us. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. If you search DisneyA, you will find us.
Yeah.
Or DisneyA Podcast.
Yeah, sounds good.
And you can find DisneyA episodes on all of your favorite podcast streaming platforms. So wherever you listen to your podcast, you can find us. And you know, be
probably
awesome.
With like headphones or speakers or something.
Probably.
Oh, you mean on the platform?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Brandon, no. No. So no matter which platform you listen to, if you wanted to drop us like a nice 5-star rating or any kind of comment on like anything like that, especially on Apple Podcasts, we'd really appreciate it. If you've rated or reviewed our podcast already, then thank you. And if you know someone who might like listening to us, be sure to recommend DisneyA as well. You can also listen to DisneyA episodes on Magic of the Mouse Radio Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 3 p.m. Eastern. And Magic of the Mouse Radio can be found on most radio station apps. Plus, if you want to hear some other cool Disney-themed podcasts, as well as music from the parks or films or anything like that, definitely check out Magic of the Mouse Radio.
Yeah.
Next week, we're going to talk about the Oscars. You know how we said we had a lot of Oscar movies to watch?
Hmm.
We still do.
Yeah, we still do.
Yeah. West Side Story we watch, and that is on Disney Plus now.
It is. Mm-hmm. So you have something, like, last year we talked about the Oscars.
Yes.
And we kind of picked what we wanted to win or something like that.
Well, we can mention, some of the things Disney's nominated for and in the categories. But basically, what we're going to do is we're going to host our own Disney-themed Oscars.
And the winner goes to...
Exactly. Well, we're going to pick some categories in advance, some nominees in advance, and then we'll pick the winner on the air.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of work.
That for me.
Oh, okay.
It's fun. I'll prep it. Don't worry.
Woot.
So if you have any suggestions for that as well, if you're like, oh, man, I think that there should be a category that's like best, I don't know, non-talking animal sidekick. That's a good one. Something like that. Or best.
The pig from Moana can't win. That was several years ago that came out.
It doesn't have to be the same year. Just like overall. Overall Oscars.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't think that's how the Oscars
No, it
work,
does.
But okay.
It does. Or we can have, say, best Disneyland Dark Ride. Mm-hmm.
Dark Rides can win Oscars now?
They can. These Oscars.
Oh.
They're special Oscars.
Yeah. Okay.
They're the Krista Oscars.
Okay, then.
Playing fast and loose with the rules here.
I see this, yes.
So if you have any suggestions for anything, any categories you want us to include, be sure to let us know. Till then, I'm Krista.
And I'm Brandon.
Till that next adventure, TTFN, ta-ta for now. Thanks for listening to Disney A.
Oh no, you hit record.
You lost me now. Dang it!